Well, good morning once again. Hope you are all doing well this Father's Day. All of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day to you. So hopefully you have time today to enjoy your family and just enjoy, hopefully then, our time together today as the body of believers. So, if you were here last week, you remember that I asked the question, what is worship? And I just want to prepare you this morning that if you felt like what I gave you last week was a fire hose and it was a lot, this week's not going to be any different. And I don't mean to do that on purpose. It just is that when we talk about things like worship, when we talk about why we gather, and then next week when we talk about singing, there are lots of facets to it. There are lots of reasons that we gather. There are lots of reasons that we sing. And so I don't want to shortchange you in that, but I also do want to prepare you that it's going to be a lot. In fact, I think I could say it this way. I have two main points with a lot of subpoints, but really in total I have 9 points. So please grab onto your seats or whatever you need to and hold on for the ride. But we did talk about last week what is worship. And as you know, I walked through Psalm 95 and we came up with a definition for worship, and it was this: worship is the joyful praise of and submission to a sovereign God in response to who he is and his work on our behalf in Christ to make us his people in accordance with his will. So this means that we as individuals, we joyfully praise and submit to God because of who he is and what he's done for us in Christ. What that also means then is that the way that we do that is by praising him and submitting to his word in obedience, and that's for our joy and our good. Now understand, when we were talking about worship, and I mentioned this last week, that we were talking about it in much more of an individualistic way. And that means how you guys worship wherever you are as individuals, whether you're at home, whether you're in your community, whether you're at church, whether you're at work, how you worship God in all of life. However, one of the problems with this definition, and I shouldn't really call it a problem, but really what happens, this doesn't adequately explain why we gather. And we talk about corporate worship a lot, and we gather for corporate worship a lot. And so since this doesn't adequately explain that, it's important then for us to understand, with this being our definition of worship, then why do we come together as God's people to worship? So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And my hope, like last week I had 2 main points, my hope in addressing this is twofold. One is to give you a clear understanding of the purposes and goals for our gathering. To give you a clear understanding of the purposes and goals for our gathering. I have 4 points with that. Okay, that's the first part. And then the second part is to show you what we are supposed to do to accomplish these purposes and goals when we gather. So we have the why, and then we're going to have the what. And the what has 5 points. So 5 plus 4, that's 9, hence 9 points. As a side note, though, one, I'm going to be touching on these things very briefly. I mean, ultimately, if I wanted to, I could do a sermon on each of these points. You probably don't want me to do that, so I'm not going to. But I'm going to be touching on them very briefly, and especially singing. I'm going to touch on singing very briefly because next week that's going to be the entirety of my final message next week. Okay? All right. But before we jump right into this, to the first point, let's take a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless this time and teach us his word. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you just so much that you are a good and sovereign God. And that you are a God who not only has redeemed us as individuals, but you've also redeemed us as a corporate body. And we will see in your word today that we are commanded to come together to worship, and that that is for our good and joy. So Lord, we are asking in this time that you will speak powerfully through your word, that you will move in this place in an amazing way, and that we will leave this place encouraged and equipped for the work of the ministry in this place and beyond. We just pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So like worship, my contention is that we probably all have our own ideas of what we're doing here, right? We probably all have this, some sort of idea of what we think we're doing when we gather. You know, for some of us, we might say, I gather for spiritual growth. Okay, you think that's the main reason that we gather. Some of you might say, well, for me, it's encouragement. That's why I come. That's why I come to church. It's because it's about encouragement and being refreshed. Others of you, it might be community. Maybe you love the community of believers, and so that's kind of your main reason for coming to this place. Now, maybe for one or two of you, you might be so bold even to say that really the main reason you come here is because your family does and you kind of have to. I hope that's not why you come, but that might be true for some of you. And beyond that last point about coming here just because your family does, all the other ones, those are good reasons for a gathering. That's part of the purposes for corporate worship. But hopefully, as we look at these four reasons today, that you will have a greater holistic, all-encompassing understanding of why we gather, why we come to church here on Sunday mornings. So let's jump right into this. Why do we gather? Our first point this morning is we gather because God commands it. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. My hope is not to belabor this point a whole lot. However, I want you to know that if worship is a joy-filled obedience in response to who God is and what he's done for us in Christ, then we should desire to joyfully obey God's word by coming to church. Because it says, do not to neglect the meeting together. So God's command is to not neglect coming here and being a part of the corporate body. And because it's a command of God, again, we talked about how God's commands are good for us and for our joy, that because this is a command from God's word, know that this is for your good, that coming together here with God's people is good for you. It's for your edification. It's for your joy. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be here and meet with God's people. But this also means that when believers say, and you've probably all know believers that have said this, when they basically said, you know what? I don't need that church thing. You know, I've got God, and I kind of do my Jesus thing over here on my own. But you know what? I don't really need church. I don't need that. And when believers say that, one, they're walking in open rebellion to God's word. And basically, they're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did. They're basically saying, you know what? You say that you're God, but I'm going to be my own God, and I'm going to go over here and eat this fruit. Okay, that's what we're saying. In fact, I remember in college, I was a pretty young believer. I was probably in my third year and had been a part of Campus Crusade for Christ in college, part of a local church there. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how this happened, but I remember that all of a sudden I kind of looked at the church and I looked at this ministry I was a part of, and I was like, man, these people are a bunch of phonies. These people are a bunch of hypocrites. These people, man, they're not preaching the word of God. I know so much better. I know what they need. And I left the church. I left the church for actually what felt like an eternity. It was something like, I think it was 3 years that I stopped going to church altogether. And I was trying to have my happy Jesus time over here by myself, but the problem was it didn't end up really being happy Jesus time. And I found myself just walking away, not just from the church, not just from this campus ministry, but I walked away from Christ. I miss the fact that despite the church not being perfect, that one, God commands us to worship with his people. But I also miss the fact that this command to not forsake the meeting of the saints, that it was for my good, that it was for my joy, but it was also for my edification, for being encouraged and built up in faith. So point one is that it is good, God commands us to gather, and that it's good and right to gather with God's people. Point two, we gather to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I think we all get, right, that the Christian life isn't easy. I don't think anybody in here would be like, oh yeah, this Christian thing, pff, piece of cake. We wouldn't say that. Because the reality is that worshiping God and submitting to him as people who are still fighting and warring against sin in our flesh, that's hard because we don't, apart from God working in us, we don't naturally want to submit to him. And also we live in a world that kind of throws these thoughts and ideas and philosophies at us that basically say, look, we've got something that's much better than this whole Jesus thing. And if you really want to be happy, you're going to find what makes you the most happy. And that thing probably isn't a God that calls you to submit to him and obey him. A God that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father, to God, except through me. You probably don't want that God. That's what the world tries to tell us. This means that I kind of think of it this way, that we're really walking in a world of landmines, right? And all around us are just landmines waiting to go off and knock us away from Christ. Now, I do want to emphasize that we are a church that wholeheartedly, again, I said last week, we believe in the sovereignty of God. That's one of our core points, that God is in control over all things for his own glory. And we also believe that it's, according to Philippians 2:13, that it is God who works in us to will and act according to his good purposes. We believe that as well. And so when we're talking about gathering for corporate worship, we believe those things. And we don't want to diminish that, saying that we have to gather. But one of the things that we do want to say is that the Word tells us that one of the ways that God has ordained for us to stay the course in our worship, one of the ways that he has planned from beginning for us to stay the course, is by gathering together to encourage one another to remain faithful to Christ. And I can imagine we've all had times you come in here, man, you're beaten down, you're downtrodden, maybe you just had a fight with your spouse when you got up, or maybe you yelled at one of your kids, or maybe you lost a job, or maybe you just found out that you have a horrible illness. Maybe it's cancer, maybe it's terminal. Who knows what it is? But yet you come into this place, you gather with God's people, and you get to sing, you get to pray, you get to sit under the preaching of the Word together. And in so doing, as we do that together, we remind each other that we are saved by a sovereign God who has graciously called us to not only serve him by the power of his Holy Spirit, but that he has also saved us for an eternity that is far better than this place. And that's a great reminder that although those things outside of these walls are hard, we come to this place to gather to remind each other of the amazing grace and life that we've received in Christ, that we might then remain faithful. So in this way, we gather to encourage one another with the promises of God and to remain faithful to Christ. Number three, we gather to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I can imagine that there are those of you that you kind of look at this point, and I said we gather to be equipped, and the whole thing is we gather to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And I can imagine you look at that, and you kind of scratch your head, and you go, that's not why I come here. I don't come here to be equipped to work, right? That's what you three pastors do. That's what I do. That's what Kyle does. That's what Pastor Dan does. You guys are the ones that do the work here, not us. I'm not saying that's all of you, but that might be some of you. And you're right. God has called us as pastors to work. That is absolutely right. But the first two verses, 11 and 12, when he gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Understand this, that yes, we have work, but our work is to equip you to work. Our work as pastors is to equip you to work. And your work, then, according to this verse, is building up the body of Christ. This means that each of you, you have a gift that God has given you, and multiple gifts that God has given you, and God has a purpose for those gifts. God has equipped you with those gifts for a reason, and that's for the building up of the body of Christ. And that's one of the reasons for you coming here. One is to be equipped more, but then also to build up the body, to use those gifts in service to God for building his people. Now, I'm not saying that coming here for encouragement and coming here for fellowship, that's wrong, because that's not. That's a good reason to gather. But again, I want to make sure that we have a holistic understanding of why we gather, and we gather to be equipped. This means that when we come into this place, we should come in with our sleeves rolled up. You come in with your sleeves rolled up, ready to be equipped with the knowledge and understanding we need to be able to serve God's kingdom and his people. And once we are equipped, then we must go and build up the body of Christ, meaning you must go and work and do. And the question then is, why do we do this? And this is verse 13. We're equipped with these gifts to build up the body. And it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's a lot, so I'm going to reword it this way. That we are equipped and use our gifts to build up the body so that we will all be united in faith, that we will grow in knowledge, and that we'll become mature in Christ. And another way to say it is this, that we use our gifts basically to build each other up to become mature disciples of Christ. Again, making disciples, that's just not my business. That's just not Pastor Dan's business or Pastor Kyle's business. That's your business, is making mature disciples in Christ. Maybe that's working in the nursery and taking care of kids and shining the light of Jesus to them. Maybe that's working downstairs with some of the older kids. Maybe that's serving as an usher. Maybe that's filling communion cups so that we can partake of the Lord's Supper together. Whatever that is, God has gifts that he wants you to use for building up his people and making mature disciples in Christ. An interesting note, historian Larry Hurtado, the Greek word for church, many of you know, is ecclesia. And one of the things that he points out actually is that it's in its historic common usage, meaning not necessarily referring to the church, that it actually refers to a gathering of people who gather to conduct civic business. And there may have been some religious component to that, especially in Rome. They would conduct civic business, and then they might make sacrifices to one of their idols or gods. But there's an emphasis here on the work of the people. And so for us, that means that when we gather with work to do, which is, again, and I'm going to belabor this point a lot so that it really hits home, that our work is to use our gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. And we don't do this out of drudgery or duty, but we do it with a joy-filled heart in response to God's work on our behalf. 1 John 5:3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So when we're talking about using our gifts, when we're talking about building up the body of believers, I'm talking about God's best for you. God's best for you is that you take all of the things that God has given you at your disposal to use to help and equip people, and to use them to build up this body. That's good. That's right. And those commands are not burdensome. So my question for you this morning is, are you using your gifts for building up God's people? Whatever those gifts are, you all have different ones, unique and amazing gifts. Are you using them? Are you here to work? Are you here for yourself? I encourage you to process that, think about that, pray for that, and see what God would show you through that. Point 4. We gather to remember and proclaim the gospel. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we do gather to encourage one another, and we do gather to be equipped and to build up the body. But the question is, what are we being encouraged and equipped in? And the answer is this: we are being encouraged and built up in our knowledge and apprehension of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are being built up in our knowledge and apprehension of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It really is. We gather to remember and proclaim Christ in one another, that we would understand, remember, and live out the gospel, that we would take the truths of Christ and what he's done for us on the cross, the blood shed for us, his amazing resurrection, we would take that and remember that and apply it to our lives. In fact, this is why Hebrews 10 says that we are to hold fast the confession. And the idea of holding fast, the author is getting across this idea that we're meant to firmly take grasp of our confession, which is Christ. We're supposed to work hard to occupy it and take hold of it. And if you know, this is why we teach empowered Christianity in a class like Sonship. Because our goal is to take hold of the gospel every day and really figure out, by God's grace, I mean, how is this thing called the gospel, how is it meant to affect the way that we live? Because it is. It's not just that we believe in Jesus and what he's done and now we're saved and we live in our little happy world and we don't need the gospel anymore, but those truths of what Jesus has done for us are meant to affect the way that we live. And so one of our goals then in gathering is to remember and proclaim that truth. In fact, again, it says, let us hold fast the confession. And this is where the proclamation piece comes in. Because again, we can remember the gospel and we can try to figure out how it applies to our life, but then there's also an aspect where we're meant to do something with it. We're meant to proclaim it. We're meant to make it known. That's why it is a confession, because we're supposed to speak of it with words. In fact, I said this in the other service. There's a book by two men, Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert, and they wrote a book called The Mission of the Church. And they basically said that their contention is that because of the Gospels, especially the book of Matthew and the other Gospels end with the Great Commission, that the overarching purpose for the church is the Great Commission. And I only say that to you because, again, as I'm talking about not only remembering this holding fast, but also proclaiming the gospel, that confession aspect of it, that you and I are meant to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, to tell others what he has done for us, but also what he has done for them if they will believe him and follow him. And so then the reality is that with all the things that we do, this gospel thing that we talk about, it's the overarching theme for all that we do. So we do gather because it's commanded. We gather to encourage one another and to be equipped and build each other up. But over this reality is that we gather because of what Christ has done on the cross on our behalf for the purpose of understanding and growing in the gospel and how it applies to our lives, that then we may go and proclaim it to others. That's a lot already. Those 4 points, there's a lot in those. But then there's another aspect. So how do we do that? What are we supposed to do then when we gather? If those are the reasons for gathering, to encourage, because it's commanded to encourage, to equip, to remember and proclaim the gospel, how do we do that? We have 5 points here, and the first one is this. We encourage and equip each other with the gospel through the word. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So this is a call from Paul to Timothy, and Timothy is a local church pastor, basically to devote himself to the public reading teaching, and preaching of Scripture. He's to devote himself to the public reading, teaching, and preaching of Scripture. The question is, why? Why is that? And the answer is because it's the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit who not only teaches us, but the Word also corrects us, it equips us, and it moves us to maturity. In fact, 2 Timothy, it's the next one up here, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I hope you see how important this is, how important the Word of God is in the life of the believer. And growth just doesn't happen on its own. Again, I talked about last week, worshiping God. You don't just do that sitting on the couch eating potato chips. There's an action. And the same thing is true when it comes to God's Word. If we want to be growing believers, we need to be people of the Word, people who are immersing ourselves in the truths of God's Word, because it's God working through His Word that teaches us and equips us as it lays before us what Jesus has done for us and how that promise then propels us to action. This is why at this church that we believe that what happens in this pulpit is the most important thing that happens on Sunday morning. All the other things are good and right, but what is most important is what happens here. That's why we structure our services around that. That's why, again, think of it as a mountain. We're building up to the preaching of the Word, and then everything after that is a response to that Word just preached. And one of the reasons we see this is so important is because this is the only time of the week, really, in which God's people gather to hear and receive and respond to His Word in a corporate way, that we then may be complete and equipped for every good work. Again, so we are encouraged and equipped with the gospel through the Word. Second, we encourage and equip each other with the gospel by singing together. And as I said, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time to this, because again, this is my whole message next week. But I do at least do want you to understand that singing is so important. One, because it teaches us God's Word, but also because it's one of the things that God uses in a miraculous way. And I even next week, I won't be able to fully grasp it and explain it, but God uses music to take the truths of the gospel and of His Word and to sink them deep into our hearts. And it's so amazing because if you go down into one of the kids' Sunday school rooms and they're singing songs and they're specifically singing Scripture songs, they're going to remember those, right? And you guys probably have Scripture songs from when you were kids, if you've been a believer that long, that you probably remember. And it's so amazing how music gives us the ability to not only remember, but just to take God's Word and to sink it deep into our hearts in a way where it just feels like it sticks. You know, you might not be able to recite, maybe you can, but you might not be able to recite 5 Bible verses, but I bet you have songs from your childhood that you remember and you can sing even to this day. You know, my wife sings one. Have you guys heard the hippopotamus song? Hip, hip, hippopotamus lets us know God made all of us. You guys ever heard that? No. I mean, that's a silly song, but again, it's one our kids know. It's amazing how much they grasp that. Okay? So music has the ability to teach us and to sink the truths of God just deep into our hearts. We'll give more of that next week. Number three. We encourage and equip each other with the gospel through prayer. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Again, this is Paul giving instruction to Timothy that his people should pray all sorts of prayers for all people. And this isn't just a call to pray for lost people or to pray for those in high positions. But because it's a prayer for all people, this is a command to pray for one another. We should come here and we should pray for each other. Because the reality is that one of the best ways for us to love each other is to pray for each other. Again, you probably have an experience where you've been having a hard time and you come into this place and someone just says, hey, I know it's hard, but can I pray for you? And it's amazing what God does in that. It's amazing how God works in that to encourage our hearts, to feel like, yes, you are carrying this burden with me. And of course, we always pray for people that God would work mightily in their lives. And we want him to do that, and he will. And we're, of course, also praying that when we gather here corporately, that God is going to work in a mighty way to teach us and change us. And he will. But again, we're also loving people as we thank God for them, and we ask him to work on their behalf. And one of the great things that God does in this is that he binds our hearts together. I don't know if you guys have people that you might call them prayer partners or people that you've prayed with for a long time. And I bet that those relationships, if you have people like that in your life, I bet those relationships are super strong relationships. I bet those are people that when you're going through stuff and you need encouragement, that those are the people that you're going to call. Because God binds our hearts together in that. And you know that those people care for you. And this is one of the reasons why, starting in July, we're going to be starting a new prayer ministry. And basically, we're going to have people up here. We've done it once or twice already. But we're going to have people up here who are ready to pray with you after each service. People who are ready, whatever, maybe it's a conviction that comes from God's word. Maybe it's a hard situation you're going through in life. And you're just saying, man, I need prayer. I need someone to hear me and seek God with me. We're going to have people available for you because we want you to know that we care. We want you to know that we're here to carry these burdens with you. And we want to be seeking God on your behalf that he then also would encourage you and equip you to remain faithful even in the face of whatever trial it is that you're working through. Point four. We encourage and equip each other with the gospel through communion. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I hope this point's very straightforward. The Christian life, again, I hope we understand that it was never meant to be lived on our own. It's not just an individualistic endeavor, it's a corporate endeavor. Christianity is meant for an us and a we, not just for a you and an I. It's meant for everybody. When we come together as a corporate body. And when we take communion, one of the great things about communion is that we are corporately confessing together and reminding each other of the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're remembering the body and blood of Christ that was shed for us. And that also is a corporate proclamation that, yes, we are a together people of God. And it's also a great reminder that, look, there's one day when there's a great eternity to come for all of us together. And I hope you're excited about that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see every one of you in eternity. That'd be awesome. You know, to be able to see you guys and be like, look, man, we get to praise Jesus. How awesome is that? I'm not dealing with those struggles anymore. And I get to live in his presence forever. That's awesome. And when we gather together as a corporate body, this is a foretaste of forever. I hope that excites you. So the word, singing, prayer, communion, they're all things that God wants us to use in our corporate gathering to encourage us, equip us, and remind us of the gospel so that, again, our hope is that we're all stirred to love and good works. That all of these things stir us to love and good works. As we experience, again, a foretaste of the eternal community to come. But there's one final thing. This is point five. We encourage and equip each other by walking through a gospel-centered liturgy. I'm going to read that one more time so you can let that sink in. We encourage and equip each other by walking through a gospel-centered liturgy. Now, I did use that dreaded L word, liturgy, and I know for some of you that word makes you shudder. Because again, you think of these services that just feel dead and they feel repetitive and it's a stand-up, sit-down type of thing that feels lifeless. But really, when we're talking about liturgy, all we're talking about is the form of our service. And I hope you understand that what we do here, well, I'll say this. It's not meant to be haphazard. It might feel haphazard sometimes, but we don't put our services together in a haphazard, however we feel like way. There's a form to what it is that we're doing. And our form is this. Go to the next slide. It's the gospel. And what I've put up here for you is what we call a gospel liturgy. And all that really means is that this is a walking through of a basic walking through of the gospel in the life of a believer. And so what happens in our hearts individually, we're walking through corporately. For instance, you know, we tend to open with either a call to praise or a song or a word that is praising and adoring God for his greatness. We generally always start that way. And one of the reasons that we start that way is because for us as believers, when we came to Christ, there was first a recognition that there is a holy and perfect God who is much greater than us. And what then that naturally leads to is that naturally leads to confession. It leads to our need for a Savior and acknowledging our need for the gospel. Because if you understand that God is holy and that you're not and that your eternity apart from him is hell, man, very quickly you're going to confess your need for him. You're going to confess your need for Jesus because you're going to say, look, I don't want to go there. I want to be with you forever. And for some of you, it may not have been that eternity in hell that really prompted you. Maybe it was the fact that you felt like you were living hell right now. And yet in seeing the greatness of God, you in turn saw and confessed your need for Jesus. That then naturally leads to the assurance of the gospel as our music, prayers, readings, they remind us of what Christ has done for us. And we thank God for what he's done for us. Because as we've received the assurance of the gospel, we also come to a place where we thank God. We say, thank you so much, God, for what you have done for us in Christ. Thank you so much that you are good. Thank you so much that you have saved us. Which leads then to petition, this expression of our dependence upon God. Again, as you see his greatness, as you confess your sin to him, as you receive the assurance of the gospel that, yes, I am saved because of the finished work of Christ. Yeah, that should lead you to thanksgiving, but it also leads you to say, look, I realize now I need you. I need you for every moment of my life. I need you to lead me in my family, in my work, in all that I do. And as we express our need to depend on God, it also prepares us to receive the instruction of his word. And this instruction is what God uses to grow us in our knowledge and understanding of his word and his desires for our lives as his redeemed people. And this is the instruction that we receive from the word. We need that. We need to be prepared to receive that daily. And after we've received the instruction of the word, we're given a charge from his word. And I hope this makes sense. The charge is being sent out to live out the gospel. So in instruction, we acquire knowledge to grow in our faith, but then usually, hopefully what happens as we receive that knowledge, we also realize that knowledge is actually calling us to do something. The word is instructing us now. Now that you have, now go and do. So there's a charge there, a charge to go out, to do the work of the ministry, to live out the gospel both in this body and outside of these walls, to be proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ and to fulfill by his grace the great commission of making disciples of all nations. And then finally, we close with a blessing. And the blessing is so important. And the blessing reminds us that, yes, we're being sent out, but we're not being sent out alone. We're being sent out with the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Each of you are sent out that way. You're not sent out of these walls alone. You're sent out empowered for gospel work, to be proclaimers of good news, to build up the body of Christ. That's an amazing work of God in you and through you. This is a gospel liturgy that takes us from the holiness of God to an apprehension of our sin, to our need for a Savior, and ultimately to being sent out to do the work of the ministry both inside and outside of these walls. Okay, you can let down now. Whew, I'm finished. I know that's a lot. I know that there's a lot there, and my hope is not that you will get all of these perfectly right now, but at the same time, my goal for you is that in understanding better why we gather, that you will have a greater understanding of what we are to do here, the work that God has given us to do, and the goodness and greatness of that task. And the task to encourage one another, to equip, to be equipped, and to build one another up in the Lord. That again, that's not meant to be a burden, but that's meant to be for your joy. It's meant to be for your joy. That's God's non-burdening commands on your life for his glory and your joy. And so my hope for you then as we close is this. It's very simple. That we will now be a people that go and worship and work. That we will now be a people that go and worship and work. Let's pray. Father, we come before you just knowing that these truths are weighty truths, that we are called here, yes, because you command us, yes, to be encouraged, but also that we are called here to be equipped for the building up of your body, that we have gospel work to do as we remember the gospel and how it applies to our lives, and we proclaim that truth to one another and to a world that is just perishing apart from you. And I pray that we will continue to be faithful in the work that you've given us to do, especially here as, together as a body, that we will continue to be faithful to preach your word, to sing together as a body, to pray for one another, to partake of communion and the Lord's Supper together, and also to daily walk through this gospel liturgy that reminds us of who you are, what you've done for us, and that then we would be sent out to be proclaimers of that good news to others. And may that happen for your purposes and your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.